Welcome, everyone, to the Experience Grind Podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we have along the way with various forms of media such as music, movies, video games, and etc. My name is Kyle, and I make Sean laugh.
And etc.
Oh, you like that bit. So, I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Sean.
Well, I'm not always shooting, but if I'm shooting, I'm shooting from the hip, pal.
Fair enough.
That's what Sean sounds like, always.
Sean, as always, is rolling with my good buddy, Brian.
Hello. My favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie is the 2013 Volvo Trucks commercial, The Epic Split.
It is fairly epic.
It's pretty great.
Fairly. Brian usually, you know, does the hot tag to my other good buddy that sounds similar, Ryan.
Fun fact, there are 8 Universal Soldier movies.
That's too many.
No,
that is a fun fact. I'm sure we'll discuss that, all of them, in depth. Surprise. No. A big welcome to our special guest, as always, for any Jean-Claude Van Damme flick, our good and faithful friend, Phil.
I want to thank you guys for providing a forum for a straight white male in his 40s to give his opinion on movies.
That's what we provide here.
I think you've stumbled onto something magical here.
It's groundbreaking.
It was once known as the only podcast in existence.
Mm-hmm, in the universe.
Yeah,
we had that for a while. Yeah. Guinness recognized that record,
allegedly. So, yeah,
even in the scenario, the majority of podcasts are done by white males in their 40s.
Oh yeah,
now still, okay, they caught on.
So you just made the same scenario. You've just eliminated all other possibilities.
You know, I had a really good joke about podcasting with all 5 of you. But just not all at the same time, and then Dave fucking ruined it by not being here. So,
classic Dave.
Fuck that guy. I'll be playing the role of Dave today.
Really good idea
for art, though. I was really hoping you could just like paste me on a couch with the 5 of you standing behind me. I think that'd be really good.
Oh, like in that.
Hold on. Kyle, you know how I said you don't have to tell me the time of when we finished recording the Patreon episode prior to this that will come out on Friday? That's for you folks at home. If you're not signed up, sign up to hear that. Anyways, I said, don't tell me when it ended. Do tell me after this episode, Phil's request right there, because I will forget, and I do want to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to get my finest white t-shirt.
We might throw that up on the Patreon. But we can do that.
No.
He wants everyone to see.
Yeah. We could do the picture of Jean-Claude Van Damme bare-assed and then put Phil's face over the ass to, like, censor.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought you were going to put one face or a face on each cheek.
On each cheek.
Okay. Real quick, if you were to censor bar a butt, does the censor bar go horizontal or vertically up the crack?
I go vertically on the crack, absolutely.
Okay.
See, I think
yeah, censor the dark bits
are like in the rare. You don't really need to censor.
It depends. Is there spread accidentally?
That's
depends
true.
On the rating.
Then you just cover up where the hole would be, just in case.
Remove it, cat style.
I remember an episode of The Man Show in the 90s where they came up with an idea for the 3/4 ass shorts. It was a pair of jean shorts that allowed you to see 3/4 of the ass. And so it was just kind of like a strip of denim horizontally across the butt cheek. So I guess that would suggest that you could show a little bit of crack, just not the whole thing.
I feel like this would come as a surprise to nobody here, but I would wear those.
Oh.
For real, though?
Yeah.
Underwear?
No, not surprised.
No underwear.
Oh, no. I would wear those out in public.
With underwear or not?
No.
Showing off them cheeks, baby.
Why would I?
Are you not afraid of getting, like, a rogue finger? I feel like you would learn a lesson. wearing pants
if
like that.
If somebody's checking that oil, they have the They're issue, gonna... not me.
That doesn't stop it from happening.
Checking that oil.
I'm that is sure. what the move is called. It's called checking the oil.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I check my dipstick. Your butt cheeks is warm.
Whatever they called it in Korea, what was it, Ryan?
Dongchim. Poop needle.
Dongchim.
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 That move.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, what the kids wait. Do.
Okay, so
you're a teacher.
Maybe. I guess in Massachusetts, today. It's just not that common to have somebody just trying to stick their finger up your bum.
Well, in Korea, no. But, like, still, in America.
It is the casual form of greeting in Korea.
And this is 100%, Sean, no offense, coming from a white dude. Because, yeah. like, a woman, I don't think would be like, I would do that out and open with, like, my bunghole open to the public, ready for fingering.
Oh, and no offense taken, because I am well aware, unlike what everybody heard on the Patreon episode that comes out this Friday, I am not a woman.
So I'm sorry that we have to keep like putting it out there.
Great callback. That's call forward. Call it's forward. Like an episode of Lost. It's flash forwards.
See, I won't remember Phil's request by the end of this episode, but I'll remember myself. I remember myself clarifying that I'm not a woman. Half an hour ago.
Not yet. I'll make sure to remind you.
You'll get there, though.
My man.
Speaking of, Sean, you've got a bit of a synopsisal breakdown of this flick for us that you're going to read through, and we're going to interject occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Phil, what movie are we talking about? We haven't even...
Yeah, Phil, what movie are we talking about? What Jean-Claude Van Damme flick did you select for us this time?
We... are talking about the 1992 Roland Emmerich Hollywood debut, Universal Soldier.
Phil, I gotta ask you, why did you pick this one?
Because I feel like we've done all the S-tier and the A-tier Van Damme movies, and we're down to around like the B-tier, and this is... It's not in my top five, but it's almost there. It's like a solidly... good, fun movie to watch every now and then, but not like one I'm really going to recommend.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
It's fun.
This is my favorite one that we've watched.
Really? Yeah. More than Sudden Death?
Oh, way more than Sudden Death.
Big fan of Sudden Death.
Actually,
oh, wow, okay.
Nothing tops the helicopter crashing down into the stadium, like all 40 seconds of it from
yeah.
Sudden Death, but this is my favorite Van Damme movie that we've watched. Hands down.
The look on Powers Booth's face when he's crashing down slowly is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost as good as the fist pump that Dolph Lundgren gives when he blows up Van Damme's girlfriend at the end of this movie.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. The comedy in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Intentional
or not. I sent
that
pic to Sean and Phil because it's when he throws the grenade and then he's like, yeah, it's so fucking ridiculously stupid.
Yes.
It was my favorite
perfect.
Part. I was like, this
so
is the
good.
Best thing I've ever seen.
Dude's got an
it's all raining. It's so over
grenades.
And just so stupidly dumb that he's just like, yeah.
Well, they had so to give dumb. Dolph something after that diner scene.
Oh. All right. Yeah, Kyle mentioned, this is my first time ever doing this, and not unlike the Kick-Ass-O-Meter, it's something that I thought of... Well, kind of because of the Cape Podcasters and Beer Me a Movie, is Brian, for the longest time over there, would be doing a quick humorous synopsis of this.
Yeah.
Mine's not super quick.
I'm sorry, did you say quick?
Yeah, this is definitely not... okay, I see where you're going there. But I had a lot of fun doing this, and that's why it took me like 4 hours to watch this movie.
That tracks. Yeah. I used to have to watch the movies twice to get this thing done, so...
Holy
but that's
crap.
Also why the Cape Podcasters episodes, like an hour of them would be us synopsizing the movie.
Oh, it's not going to take that long, guys. And with that, I'll jump right on in. After a mission in Vietnam in 1969 that ends with the sergeant going a little, well, in need for an ear or two, and the soldiers just ready to go home, Sergeant Andrew Scott and Private Luke Devereaux take each other's lives after a brief struggle. When the army shows up, they are alarmed at what they find and reason that the only way to protect their loved ones, and Well, let's be honest, guys. The army, from the truth, is to Austin Powers them and put them on ice, which won't at all become a theme throughout this movie.
There's so much ice usage.
The entire...
One of my favorite IMDb facts that I've ever seen was about the ice in this movie. And they said nearly all the ice required for filming, an estimated 400 kilograms, came from a local 7-Eleven in Arizona. Manager of that store, Joaquim Alvarez, they have the manager's name, was invited on a tour of the Nugget Ice Corporation factory as his sales figures were so impressively high.
I've read that ice is like the biggest moneymaker for convenience stores.
I imagine it's like $5-6 a bag.
What size are we talking?
For cold water.
Oh, just any store? Or like big, like Kroger's, Walmart's, or like tinier ones?
For like convenience
stores. I think for like gas station, convenience
stores, so kind of a little smaller.
Sort of things. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
400 kilograms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still less weight than the cocaine that Jean-Claude did during Street Fighter, right? Roughly.
I Phil, can't do the math. Expert. How many weeks did he shoot? Because he did $10,000 each week.
That's so insane, man.
400 kilograms Jeez. Is so much.
I mean, this was the movie that launched him into Hollywood stardom, so I'm guessing his coke habit was just starting here, but, you know, it's...
Interesting. This was the one, huh?
Yeah, this was the one. He had done a bunch of, like, small martial arts movies, like Double Impact, which we've done before, Death Warrant, Lionheart. They all made good money, like, they were... cheaply made, and they made like $15-20 million profit, but this one blew them all out of the water and launched him into like this is a bankable action star for the next 3 years or so.
Well, which makes sense considering this movie had like a $23 million budget and it made $95 million, pretty big in 92. I honestly was a little surprised when I went to search for Universal Soldier. I was kind of shocked that it was a 1992 movie because the only one that I had ever really heard about was the one from the late 90s with what Goldberg in it, like 97.
That's like yeah. the fourth one, I think.
That's a fourth Jesus. One? Oh man, sign me the fuck up.
Well, so the two there in between so that were like made for TV movies, and then that was the first one that went back to theaters.
Yeah, they retconned it with the one that went back to theaters. And then the two that came out after the first one that came to theaters also got retconned by the later two.
Is Jean-Claude in all of them?
No.
I don't think so.
He's not in the made-for-TV ones.
I
think he pulled a Casper Van Diem, like Starship Troopers, and came back for the latter one.
Hmm.
Because he just did another one, too. Like, old Jean-Claude.
Did it?
I mean, at this point, work is work. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did another Universal Soldier?
Yeah. Like, not that long ago. Like, in the 20s.
I think Day of Reckoning was 2012.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Is that the most recent one?
I think so.
That's 12 years ago, Kyle.
So we're doing
that. I hate to break it to you. That is a long time ago.
time is funny when you're on ice for 20 years as a Unisol.
He did do a Kickboxer sequel in 2018, so...
Speaking,
he's still pumping them out.
Speaking of being on ice for about 20 or so years, we cut then to now. If now was 1994, which makes it back in the day, so probably it was also a Wednesday. I digress. This is where we learn that all of these icy boys have been turned into Unisols, or basically super soldiers. While on a hostage extraction mission, Luke, now GR-44. Which I'm just going to call Luke, starts to recall the moments leading up to his death and is surprised to see that he is again alongside Sergeant Scott, now GR-13, but I'm just going to call him Sergeant, and briefly shuts down to orders. The Unisol program is not too keen on this lapse and proceed to wipe memory and start to heal them all via ice magic.
Ice magic.
Recuperate in the cold, but they also overheat, so have to stay cold.
Well, yes. They're dead, right? Yeah. So
they're zombies.
Any logic's out of the window. They were
zombie
yeah.
cyborgs
so like
that
zombie
heal.
We'll get there. We'll
whatever.
Get there. Yeah. Yeah.
The science of this movie is great when we get to it towards the end.
Yeah, the 40 seconds of explanation. Yes. During this time, Veronica Roberts, the cigarette-dragging, habitually late, now jobless reporter, has begun sneaking around trying to find out info on these secret soldiers when she discovers one of them in a box full of ice. We'll get to that. We actually just did. I typed we'll get to that, but we already... Never mind. One thing leads to another, and whoopsie-poopsie, her cameraman comrade is killed by a soldier. Veronica escapes with GR Luke, and they drive their way to a hotel. Kind of. I'm sure we will get
we
there.
We get a nice, just all-around violence to tons of innocent people. We get that at the dam, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We get some hostages shot, which harkens back to the Vietnam hostages that were shot.
That child mercilessly blasted in the face.
Yeah.
That child, the cameraman at the same way, I like how that's the shock that wakes him up, is the cameraman also getting shot in the face, just incredibly violently. And Veronica's overall very chill about this. And also seeing a man wake up from the dead in the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrifying. I'm sure, like, on their way to the hotel and the car runs out of gas, and then Luke just runs the car 35 miles an hour.
Pushes it. Yeah.
Like, at that point, is anything going to surprise you? I don't
think I like so. How a couple times they mention that that Buick that they're driving has the windows blown out, but you can tell they've just rolled them down. Because like those rolled down in the back, like in the back middle, it was.
You push the like, car yeah, faster good, than my guys. Mother drives it.
They end up arriving to the gas station, which also kind of is a hotel as well, where the guy proceeds to shake them down more than any of these soldiers possibly could have. So they end up going into place, and GR Wolverine gets naked and ices up. We got some bootay spoilers.
We have like, this is like
multiple
almost
shots.
Exact, yeah, reshot of, what was that?
Desert Eagle?
Desert Eagle. Yeah, or Desert Heat.
Yeah.
Desert Heat.
Remember when he gets...
Desert Heat.
He, like, walks out naked in that one, too, and the two motel owners are, like, perving on him.
Yeah, the church
There's
lady.
There's a weird... Yeah, Van Damme, you see this in a lot of his movies, where there will be scenes or themes that repeat. It's... I don't know how much sway he has over the script and over the shots, but it seems weird that in this movie he's like, it's very clear like he wants his ass shown,
yeah,
because that's just a Van Damme staple, like get that butt in camera
multiple times.
But
I was reading the script and I don't see my ass shot in here. Can we add that? Thanks.
Yeah, he does this weird thing where he plays these kind of naive, childish, like learning how to be a human type characters. There's one where I've mentioned in previous episodes where he plays a clone called Replicant, where he's learning how to be a human, very similar to this. Some of his old ones, like Kickboxer, he's kind of, and Double Impact with the more naive twin, he's playing this kind of like very childlike, I'm not really worldly type of character. It's just, it seems to be something that's in his wheelhouse that he keeps coming back to.
It's in his wheelhouse. I think it honestly is catered specifically to his maybe, dare I say, limited acting range.
100%.
Like, yep. Because yeah. Honestly, yeah. This is maybe his most effective performance outside of JCVD, which strips some shit back. But like this, him being an emotionless robot fits fucking perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, this movie takes a lot of influence from The Terminator. And I dare say for many of my other opinions on this movie, Jean-Claude Van Damme does a robot better than Arnold Schwarzenegger, even.
Wow. Now that is saying something.
Which this all kind of fits into where we're at in here, where he heals himself up. You've got Veronica learning that he doesn't really know anything. And That's very intriguing.
He doesn't know how to eat.
He doesn't know how to eat. She's like, "Are you from France or something? What's up with that accent?"
Love
what
it.
What accent?
It's like, wild that he lost everything except for his accent.
Yes.
That's the weird thing.
Yep.
Limited range.
But this is
spoiler for later. He knows how to work a grain thresher, yeah, but does not know how to eat.
Yeah, doesn't know how to eat food.
Hey, by that point, he's off. Figured a lot out, all right?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, man. So two buttons. All of this just in time for the soldiers. I'm going to say shoulders every fucking time, and it's going to drive me nuts.
Universal shoulder.
This is more you so looking for at you, listeners.
JCVD's shoulders. It's cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're shoulders. Beefy.
Just in time for the soldiers to show up. You don't think that they would make these soldiers without tracking devices, do you? Yeah. Probably not, and it takes them all of 2 seconds to figure that out. So they escape. They are really good at hiding, guys. Like hiding in the bed with the teenagers, and then yeah, hiding in front of the cars. Like,
also, I love how these Universal soldiers fall for a cardboard cutout.
Right?
Oh yeah.
They're like, wait, and they don't even figure it out. It's the guys in the truck that are like, wait, they tricked us.
Yeah. Absolutely wild. So they end up kind of setting up this little kind of a trap thing by, you know, when they take out the tracking thing and, you know, gas and explosives, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, by this time, GR-13, Andrew Scott, Sarge here, has started recalling who he is. And I'm sure you can imagine how that goes over for his commanding officer and all of those back in the lab, as he returns and injects himself with some more super serum. Armed with super muscles and more ears than your local therapist, he is on a mission to, well, complete his mission.
He is able to recall, and he comes back to normal so fast. Compared to Van Damme, who, again, does not know how to eat, Lundgren is just back immediately and in command of things and killing his commanding officer and just being a general. Like, he's having a lot of fun. He is hamming it up. He's
cutting ears.
A lot of levity to an otherwise, you know, not super, you know, fun movie. It's very serious for the most part, but I don't know.
Dude.
He's doing something weird, but I kind of like it. He's enjoying himself.
Lundgren's performance as Andrew Scott is one of my favorite performances that I've seen in a long time. Like, I was so thoroughly entertained by how over the top and how much, like, it was so schlocky and the quips that he's constantly firing out. Like, it just looks like he was...
Yeah.
How did he keep a straight face while doing this? Like, that's the kind of...
He didn't for half the time.
He didn't.
Which is so much fun.
Dolph is having the time
of his life.
That's
what I was wondering, like, what you said this was your favorite Jean-Claude we've covered, Sean, and I wondered, is that also because of Dolph Lundgren in this 100%.
Movie? 100%.
Okay. I figured it had to be, because he is a lot of fun.
Dude, it is... Mm.
Right. I've got thoughts on this, but I don't want to stall the episode, so keep going.
No.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it when we get to villains, when we do the kick-ass armor.
Yes. By day 3 of the search for Luke, Luke gets hungry, learns to eat, and beats up a diner's worth of, well, diners, and Sergeant Scott beats up a saloon's worth of cowboys to try to get information.
It's also like another reshoot of a scene that he does later in Desert Heat as well.
The saloon.
Bill pointed that out.
But also in Kickboxer, when he's getting drunk and beating up all the patrons, and he's like going back to try and take drinks while he beats them up.
Yes.
And in this one, he's like going back to eat mashed potatoes and hot dogs while he's kicking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's weird how it just repeats.
It is weird.
Yeah.
I love this scene.
Is it weird or is it lazy?
Well, I'm just wondering, because, like, this is Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin's, like, Hollywood debut, and are they taking notes from Van Damme during this? Are they, possibly, like, you know, pulling from his old stuff? I'm very curious how this whole thing came about.
Wasn't Desert Heat later? I feel like Van Damme.
Yeah, that was 99?
Yeah, that's what I feel like Van Damme just, he knows, he tries to recreate what worked well for him when it did. So he is like insisting on these things in his later movies because he's like, hey, this was great in Universal Soldier. Everybody liked this. What if we do it? It's funny. I know it's funny. It works. And I
100%.
Okay. Yeah. Head, so I also... lazy. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that it's not lazy.
I want this to just kind of be wife. Like one of those Stephen King things where all of these movies are in the same universe and they're visiting the same places.
I mean, there's Soldier movies. I don't need a universe. That's enough.
It's already a universe.
It's Planetary Soldier at best, and probably just American Soldier.
That's first of all, true. None of these soldiers are actually American.
It's like five soldiers, and they're all from the Vietnam War. Tiny Lister.
All right, Tiny Lister's American.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah,
he'd but knock no, you I, the fuck I, out if he so heard I'm not that.
Have any of you guys seen the TV miniseries Jean-Claude Van Johnson?
No, I want to.
Yes. It came out in 2017. It's very much like the Jean-Claude greatest hits. He pulls like all the same stuff where it's like really kind of schlocky comedy with action and throwbacks to scenes where, you know, he does the splits and punches someone in the nuts and like all these other things that you've seen in other movies. Like, he very much has this thing where he needs to go back and recreate the stuff that worked for him when he was at the top of his career.
It sounds, yeah. I think, well, it sounds really self-aware and really kind of meta, which is what he did years before with JCVD. So again, the trend of doing what worked before.
Just trying, he's just a man desperate to recapture his glory success.
Jean-Claude Van Desperate.
Oh man, I won't tag him in this episode. He's never listened to any of the others, but now
he knows what the people want and he's going to give it to them.
I'm going to make the most attractive art on here. It's just going to be nothing, but instead of gears, it's going to be his butt. It's going to be like super self-felicitating for him.
Nice.
Like he,
and then he'll listen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I like it.
And he'll send me a nice postcard thanking me for my kind words.
Your other co-host, that Ryan Jean-Claude guy, is kind of a dick. I don't like him so much.
Pile of shit, Ryan.
I welcome it. Man.
So, anyways, following an entertaining attempt to destroy the other super soldiers by the lab homie, Sarge saves the day by going to a grocery store and bringing his comrades to the meat locker and doing his best Rocky impression and punching those meat slabs with his feet. In an odd twist on meeting his maker, Jerry Orbach graces the screen as Dr. Christopher Greger. Regressive traumatic recall is how Dr. Greger is... No idea what I meant there. Explains what is going on in the individual instances of Luke and Andrew. Luke just
Jerry
wants to
Orbach
go home.
Worked on this movie for one day, it seemed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
He showed up, got a big paycheck, shot for fucking 6 hours, and was like, all right, later.
We need you to read this super serious scientific mumbo jumbo and be like, definitely take it. Like, I'm trying to find the exact quote where it's something like along the lines of like, we hypercharged or hyper accelerated the dead flesh to turn it into living tissue. And that's the extent
so
of the science.
It superheated the skin.
Like, oh,
they superheated the skin. That's it.
That's all it takes to create zombie soldiers?
Yes.
To hyper-accelerate the flesh. Just, okay, cool.
Yes.
Good.
Heat them up. But so you don't want them to overheat.
Too hot, cool them down. It's like the engine in your car.
Yeah. Crazy. And then just give them muscle stimulants.
Dr. Christopher Greger was actually just a mechanic. It's crazy. Luke just wanted to go home. And Sergeant Scott is just... being loonier than your Uncle George at a cookout after a couple of beers.
Hey, now.
In a shocking
turn
of events.
That sounds like a targeted attack. You know my Uncle George.
It's super common, probably. In a shocking turn of events, after departing Gregor's house, the police find and arrest Luke and Veronica. And in an even more shocking turn of events, Sergeant Andrews catches up to ye olde Patty's school bus and his big boy truck and causes mayhem. Armed with mocking verbal jabs and a seemingly endless supply of grenades, Sergeant attempts a version of desert speed and ends up pushing the bus and his truck off of a cliff. Our heroes got out just in time.
Of course.
Love to see it.
And just so many just cops just die.
So many cops.
So many.
That dude, the nice old man driving the bus just gets lit the fuck up.
Yo, and you just have Dolph go like, oh my God. You should check out your driver. He doesn't seem so well.
I love that like they're arrested by 10,000 cops, like all the cops in Utah. And then we cut to them on an entire prison school bus where they are the only two people in there. And they've got the police escort of two cars.
Yes.
It's a weird, like that juxtaposition is just, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, yeah. But it just, it caught me off guard.
I bet you all those really cops wish weird. They had the same plot armor that Veronica had, because she somehow survives this entire onslaught, but none of the cops do.
Correct. Well,
no.
It might be only woman in the movie syndrome.
Might be. So, oh, I got to toss these grenades back.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because with Sergeant seemingly out of the way, Luke can finally go home to his much older, French, and very confused parents and come to terms with the passage of time while Veronica must try to clean up this mess.
His dad is Rance Howard.
That's Hollywood royalty. That's what I was going to say. That's Ron Howard's dad.
That's nuts.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, playing his dad.
Rance.
He was not French, by the way. Just the mom was French.
I know. I couldn't tell, but...
So she said bonjour.
I knew the mom was French. I couldn't tell if the dad was.
No, he's Rance Howard.
For about 20 minutes, I just had his very French mom. Then I felt like I needed to include him.
His very French mom.
And with that, we have 20 minutes of heartwarming family bonding moments coupled with homemade croissants before the credits rolled on this fantastic action movie. LOL. Nah. Would it be an action movie if the villain really died with 20 minutes left? Absolutely not. We all know that Sergeant walked his butt straight out of that desert and onto the Devereaux farm to fist fight Luke in the rain. He probably would have waited for a rainy forecast, too.
It was very convenient, but it's always a badass thing when you have a fight scene in the rain.
It always happens.
Lethal Weapon 1 taught me that.
You got to have that fire going while it's raining. You have that dichotomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get those cinematic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. All of the elements. The clashing elements. Just make it happen. Well, after super seruming up one final time, Sarge proceeds to whip Luke's ass from hay bale to water trolley before making the mistake of unleashing one final grenade on a fleeing Veronica and realizing that the only way to fight steroids is with steroids. Luke does the unthinkable and serums himself up to make himself strong enough to dishonorably discharge the sergeant into a wood chipper.
The syringe he used was like in the gross shit covered rain ground, and he just like injects it into himself.
He's already dead, Kyle.
He'll have an infection later. It'll be fine.
Also, can we talk about the wood chipper? I'm not gonna poo on this movie as much as I could, but I am gonna poo on this scene because this is the most unsatisfying wood chipper scene. Because one little small chunk and like some tiny dust falls out, and I'm just like, where are the pieces?
Where are the chunks of Dolph?
So the satisfying payoff
it's no Fargo.
Is when he's asked, when Veronica wakes up, the spoiler, she's not dead, and she goes, where is he? And he goes, around.
He's around.
Lies. He's really just like 2 inches in front of the wood chipper because nothing shot out.
The whole thing with like him getting chewed up in the wood chipper was pickup shoots added later, and that's probably why it feels cheap and rushed. Test audiences didn't feel that the ending was satisfactory enough.
Because spoilers, he was impaled on stakes, which...
But, like, he gets up in, like, the original ending and, like, they fight a little bit more, but audiences didn't like that, so they reshot it where, like, he goes back and turns it on, and that's why it's...
Yeah, it's super unsatisfying.
I thought he, like, killed the parents in the original
shot. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He killed the parents, too, so the parents also live, and he gets a much more violent death, which is that farm equipment.
Dr. Gregor has a turn, too, and he ends up being the main villain in the original ending.
That
would require a second day of shooting.
Yeah, we're right, yeah. Before. That's why they didn't have
that. Jerry already left.
Jerry only such had enough time weird... for 4 hours.
I will say, I was pleasantly surprised that they didn't force the romance angle this time.
Until the very end.
They kind of did. Like, she's like kissing him on the cheek and forehead, like after they narrowly avoid being pushed over the edge. But they don't do, like, the kiss on the mouth and
overt sex scene.
Right.
Even though he is, you know, back in the motel, he is ass naked and spread eagle, and she is literally behind those butt cheeks and is dangling bits and digging a tracking chip out of his thigh.
His Van Damme.
Van Damme. But they do a good job. I agree. They don't overly force the romance, which is typical in one of these movies.
Do you think that is because they really hammer home by the end of the movie that he is dead, and that would be necrophilia?
No, but don't you remember? He's alive.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about, like, can he get an erection or no?
Probably. Well, no, mortis. Because no blood. Yeah.
Oh.
At
he
best,
definitely bleeds. Does he? Though.
Yeah.
They all bleed.
Definitely bleeds, and he like. But they all heal like Wolverine, wound. Kind of.
I did like that scene. I thought that strange. Part was badass.
With a car cool. lighter.
Yeah.
I forgot that
they
bleed.
But he didn't do it to the back, where there would have been a much bigger exit wound, anyways, because it was a through shot.
Right.
There's no it's blood just, in the world.
It was written to be a badass moment. Also, no friendly bro foot bro jobs in this flick. Right.
Yeah, I feel like that was a one and done Desert Heat thing.
Poor Danny Trejo, man.
You can only get Danny Trejo to do that.
Well, it was a universal flick. I'll say that. Do you guys want to run through some kick-assometer ratings for this movie?
Absolutely, I do.
And then like we can, you know. Cover a lot
we can
more.
Break down more of our stuff. Ryan feels he's going to take down our average by a lot.
I'll fight him.
Not necessarily, but I am definitely in the minority here.
No, I think Ryan's in a position during this entire month where the kick-assometer is going to cover up his true feelings on a lot of
100%.
Us.
Yeah,
they do.
10 minutes
that
in,
you end up not liking perform better.
I hope that's the case. 10 minutes in, I thought about stepping out this episode too, because I was like, I'm just going to be a negative Nancy, and I don't want to do this again. This isn't fun.
We'll see.
All right, so our first category is the action category, the top score. It's the highest scoring category we have. It can be a total of 5. Let's start off with Shawnee Boy, Mr. Synopsis. What are you giving this one on the action meter?
I'll give this 5, actually.
A full 5 on the action meter.
I think this had more of a variety of action than Crank did. I guess I can't really compare it to other movies, but I'm just kind of justifying giving a higher score than I did Crank. It felt like the variety was there. You had gunfights, you had fist fights, you had like feet punches and
chase scenes
ripped off and Mad Max violence on the road. I thought the action quality of this was pretty high, if not a little ridiculous visually. Like, a dude got shot in the eye and his glass was still in his glasses to catch the blood. Like,
yeah,
that was stupid.
And the only time he ever was on screen ever wearing glasses was the one time he got shot. I was like, oh, that's a really nice way to hide a squib.
But it's just times.
It's actually,
there's so much cheap ways that they did action in this, but I thought the quality was pretty good. I'll give it a 4.
Okay. I'll jump in here because I'm agreeing with you here, I'm giving it a 4.2. I don't think it's a perfect action movie, but there's a lot of high quality action. And I think it's a testament to this being Roland Emmerich's first U.S. flick for what he would go on to do, because he can do crazy, insane action set pieces. And even with like this limited budget, he does a lot of really varied stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's perfect, but there's a lot of fun in here. So I agree with you. A 4 is a pretty solid score here. Ryan, where are you going to take us?
I've got pushbacks. I don't think it's that limited of a budget. Like 23 million. That's like mid-range in the 90s. Like that's a good size budget. So like I don't think Roland was that hampered by budget. I agree that there's good variety in here. But the Universal Soldier franchise is new to me. I've not seen any of them, so I'm coming to it very late in the game. I've seen a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and a lot of the material here, a lot of the action, a lot of the choreography seems kind of old hat. And that's maybe on me, not the movie's fault. But I do think there is, I don't know, I feel like a lot of this stuff has been done better since. And maybe, like, it's not the fault of this, but, like, Terminator 2 came out and did a lot of this better, and I can't like erase that from my mind. And you say like, yeah, this is Roland Emmerich's first, and you're right, like Roland Emmerich has always been a sloppy storyteller, but he's had like the panache for like action and visuals and spectacle.
Yes,
he's a spectacle dude. And I was a little bored in Universal Soldier, and I don't even think the action really picked me up. One of the times I was trying to finish watching it, I was in the middle of like that highway set piece, and I just paused and I was like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And like, that's insane to me that even in the middle of an action scene, I'm just like, nope, pause. All right. I'm right down the middle. I think a lot of these things are true. 2.5 for me. I think there's variety, but like, it just kind of feels meh.
I would like to jump in and say, like, the more that I talk about it, like, the lower my brain takes my score, because it's like I started at a 5 and I talked myself down to a 4. And I think
I like that even go down to
like a 3, because like the action was great and it was really good and it was varied. But to the point that you say, Ryan, like it's not even as clean as movies that were coming out literally probably the same year, you know, probably things were. Yeah, I think those are all really good points.
It's Phil? Tough when Terminator 2 comes out the same year.
Yeah.
And
shows you what all you can
that
do.
Is that's it.
I don't know what Terminator 2's budget was, but
I'll tell you in a second.
I'm tired.
Okay.
what are you giving it, Phil? Yeah.
So I want to read this, bit from Roger Ebert's review of the movie.
Oh, Dave is here.
Where he says, I suppose there is a market for this sort of thing among bubble-brained adolescents of all ages, but it takes a good chase scene indeed to rouse me from the lethargy induced by dozens and dozens of essentially similar sequences. I've gotten to the point where the obligatory climax, vehicle hurtles over edge, bursts into fireball, is exciting only because it means the damn chase is finally over. I feel like, Ryan, you nailed it. You hit it on the head. This is pretty generic stuff. It's explosions, it's gunshots, it's stuff we've seen before. There's a floor to this, but there's not a very high ceiling. I think the showdown at the end has some good stuff, but it carries on a little long. Mm-hmm. I don't think they do anything particularly new and novel, but it's essentially a one note movie. It's a chase scene. It's a prolonged chase between Van Damme and trying to stay ahead of Dolph Lundgren. So I give it a 2.5. It's good but not great.
2.5. All right, Brian, where are you taking us? We'll average.
I'm right at a 3.
Okay.
Basically, I'm loving the variety we have here with chase scenes and shootouts and mano-a-mano fist fights. It's hitting all of that.
Bar brawls.
Exactly. It's doing everything it needs to do, but every one of those scenes could be better. Every single one of them.
I'm thinking an average of three. Everybody will agree with a three?
Yeah.
Agree with three. Agree with a three.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Brian. Also, sure. Terminator 2 had a budget of over $100 million.
That's
Wow, okay.
Yeah. It's on the screen.
Yeah.
It's on the screen. A little bit more. I mean, T-1000 alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I did want to say a thing I did appreciate about this, though. Maybe it was a bit excessive. I did like the gratuitous violence, like when people get blasted. There's a nice squib, a lot of squibbage.
Yes,
which is why it's so disappointing that we don't get to see more of that hay harvester at the end.
Yeah,
right. Because they've gotten us accustomed to the gore, and then they're just like, we're not going to do it on the final kill.
Well, if it's anything like the
Hay harvester in the front and wood chipper in the back.
I feel like half the time the blood was going in the wrong direction and a lot of it. It's very possible, Brian, that all of the blood was actually going into the harvester.
Oozing out the front?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We just got the back end of it. I see.
They were focused on the spray in the bag and it just wasn't there.
Speaking of chunks in the old harvester, our next category is the antagonist, played by the one and the only Dolph Lundgren, who would be upstaged by his good buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger this very same year. Upstaged substantially.
Dolph see Lundgren your movie. Plays
our, what is it, GR-13? What do they call them?
Also, Terminator 2 came out the year prior, so I
Was 91 even? Gosh.
Yeah, so it's even harder kind of seeing that and knowing that.
That's, I thought, and I didn't want to make the bold claim, but I wanted to say this movie felt like it saw Terminator. It's like, we can do that, but cheaper, and confuse people and get money.
Now that I know that.
I'm just going to be a positive. Let's talk about antagonist.
Antagonist.
We need balance in this world.
You can point out these things. You don't have to be Mr. Positive.
I don't want to be Debbie Downer, though.
No, I think you
it's not Debbie Downer to like discuss them and like to bring in the viewpoint. And I mean, it does take a like there are things that they try to copy, but like I kind of feel that is also Jean-Claude Van Damme's, like we've talked about it earlier, his whole shtick.
He copies
is
himself.
Trying to copy what has worked.
Of course he's going to copy other people.
For himself or for other people. And that's why most of his stuff feels so derivative. But like for some people, he has this weird charm. And for some people, it doesn't work, I think, is the overall final statement on Mr. Van Damme.
As long as he's not Steven Seagal, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Right. Same. Like,
I'll be Van Damme.
I am some people.
Put it perfectly.
I also like enjoy this this system too, because like giving a movie like a 2 or a 3 out of 5 is like as middling as you can get and can kind of speak to how it is instead of giving.
Roger gave it 2 out of 4.
Yeah.
So
Ryan, start us off with Dolph Lundgren GR-13. What would you rank him on a scale from 4 being his maximum as a villain?
Andrew Scott put some goddamn respect on that name.
Sergeant Scott with his ear necklace.
He's all ears.
You said me, Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah.
I have to start this off. Okay, so this is what I said earlier. I was going to hold off. I will be more positive here than I kind of want to be. Dolph Lundgren is not great. He's not a good actor. He's
Speak
real
your
rough.
Truth, baby.
I don't love a lot of what he's doing. I think his lines are awful. That said, you guys are 100% right that he is the fun spot in this movie, because the rest, I think, is horribly dull. I was bored by a lot of the other stuff. And only when Dolph Lundgren was on screen, I was like, oh, at least like here's somebody who's having fun and doing something interesting. Is he doing it well? Not really, I don't know. So I want to be more positive on it, but I do want it to be known, like, he does deserve some demerits, because, like, he is just all over the place. And just, like, especially after they do Apocalypse Now in the opening, and he's, like, essentially Brando, and you're putting that fucking comparison there, and then you're Dolph Lundgren, like, So I don't know. Out of 4, fuck it, another 2.5. I'll go more positive, but it's still in that middle range.
Okay. Sean, where are you taking us on?
Ryan,
on
you might be surprised. to hear that I agree with literally everything that you said.
Oh my God. I am very surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely loved Sergeant Andrew Scott in this movie. I loved Dolph Lundgren's like portrayal, and like while his lines weren't great, they genuinely made me laugh so many times because it just I got so much joy every time he was on the screen, and he was absolutely my favorite part of this movie. And no, you're right, Dolph Lundgren's a terrible actor. But with that being said, no, like non-comparisons to other movies, I really liked his character as an antagonist of that guy in Vietnam, that sergeant that just went a little crazy. And even when he's dead and he's brought back as the super soldier, his brain is still there as he starts to regress. And like the scene in the grocery store when he kills the four cops and like kind of goes on to explain it to all of the customers standing there looking crazy, like, see, they're all out to get, they're all traitors. Like him trying to spin it. It was just, I really enjoyed that. And I liked how psycho he is. I will give it 3.5.
3.5. Mm-hmm. Phil, where are you going with Mr. Lundgren?
I can't believe I'm going to be the low man on the totem pole here. I gave him a 2 out of 4.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing. Kind of echoing what Ryan said, like he starts out super serious as this Korean War, like I've lost myself, I'm like completely off the rails. And then he morphs throughout the movie into this like Looney Tunes style of like really quippy, jokey villain that you see in a lot of action movies, but like where does that come from? Like, I feel like if he had begun the movie with that same kind of quippy character, I'd be okay with it. It would be weird, but it would feel like it was a continuation of the character. But the fact that he goes from Apocalypse Now to jokey, you know, talking through bullet holes towards the dead police officer that he just shot, it just feels weirdly out of place, and I don't know what character he's been given. He does provide some levity. I will say this. When he kind of morphs from emotionless soldier to Andrew Scott, the jokey villain, it gets a lot more fun and entertaining. It's just, you need some bridge to like why he is acting that way. And I don't think Roland Emmerich pulled it off.
Brian, what about you?
I can't believe that I'm going to be the, this just seems to be the theme. Everybody can't believe what they're about to say, but I fucking love Dolph Lundgren, guys, in this movie. He's incredible. And I don't know. I disagree a little bit. When we first see him in Nam, one of the first things he says while he's holding a necklace of ears is, I'm all ears. He already has that jokiness to him. He's lost his mind. And then his mind is wiped, and the only thing he can remember is the insanity that he had in Nam. It makes total sense that he'd become this batshit crazy Looney Tunes character. That said...
Oh, no, do not regress.
No, I'm not pivoting. I'm not pivoting it at all. I love it. He's so menacing. As soon as he shows up at the Hoover Dam and you see him, he is programmed, but you're still like, oh, there he is. He's menacing. He's gonna fuck some shit up. I'm here for it. And he, as an antagonist, is always one step behind Jean-Claude Van Damme the whole movie, but you always know he's capable of catching up. And if he does, it's lights out. I love this character, and I feel like he did a pretty good job. I'm going 4 out of 4, guys.
Perfect.
Wow.
Can I question?
Go ahead.
I'm just really curious. You describe him as like an unstoppable force. like a Terminator. You feel like he is that unstoppable thing coming in this movie.
Yeah.
Just clarifying. Okay, cool. All right.
All right. I put you there, Brian, then, so I could go last. Because I'm with you, man. I'm first of all, I am a huge just Dolph Lundgren fan. I get what the man is, but Rocky IV is my favorite Rocky because of Dolph Lundgren. I love Ivan Drago.
He's my favorite 100%, Punisher.
You're right. Like it does. I guess you can say it's sort of a flip flop, but I like that you mentioned the one thing that I was going to focus on too. At the Hoover Dam scene, they pretty much like show the dichotomy of the two main characters right there, because Jean-Claude Van Damme's guy is like sort of blank faced. But even like as the mind wipe soldier, Dolph Lundgren has like this mad fucking scowl that on his intensity. Face. Like he's just pissed. It's like, yeah, he can't act saying lines, but like the man can strike an intimidating pose. And I really liked it, but for real, 100%. So much of what sold this on to me was when he throws the grenade at the chick at the end and he does that fucking stupid face. And like,
Kyle was sent so me fucking the screen great, dude. I fell in love. When he was watching it and said, please use this for the title.
I was like, this is my idea. I said, don't please use it, but here's one. And I also sent it to Phil and I just said, best part.
Yeah. It very much is like Die Hard and the quarterback is toast.
Yes.
Very, very funny. So yeah, I'm four here. So I think. Average wise, what are we? A three again?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
a little higher than a three.
Four, three, two, two and a half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up is body count. What kind of reverse order here? Brian, start us off at the body count.
Okay. This is a max
total
of three.
Score of three, by this way, on the on this category.
Okay. I'm going to go two.
Okay.
Because we're dropping bodies left and right here, but there's something about it that just still feels like it could have been more.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we are just recklessly destroying soldiers, cops, innocent civilians left and right. It very well could be a 2.5 out of three, but I'm going to stick with a two.
Okay. I'm with you. Like we kind of always said with this category, you know it when it is a good body count. And I feel like this doesn't really achieve it. I think maybe because it is so many mindless people that you don't really give a shit about. I feel like in a movie like Die Hard, where like each of the villains has a personality that we get to know and then they die, like that would maybe have a higher body count impact. But I'm with you. I'm going to go 2.5 as well, because there are still a lot of bodies in this. A lot of people do get taken out, even if they are innocents. We do kind of hit a bit of a mark for me, so I'm with you there, 2.5.
Brian, you went 2, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'll go 2. We'll keep it even here. Shawnee boy, for the clarification, where are you at?
This is fantastic that you went with me next, because if somebody said what I'm going to say, I was going to be pissed. I'm actually lower than you guys in the same exact vein as you know what, when you feel it. And I'm going with a 1 on this, but it's getting a half of a point because the ending credit song is nothing but the repeating body count, body count, count.
That's
body
true.
Count. Like, not
it's got a great guitar solo too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stole my bit, you son of a bitch.
Dude, I saw you sitting there smiling. And I'm like, don't go to Phil. Don't go to Phil. So 1.5.
Ice tea.
1.5. So now we will go to Phil. Phil, what do you give it?
Body count.
So I had 1.5. I mean, Dolph Lundgren does the heavy lifting here. He kills the Vietnam village, Van Damme at the beginning of the movie, terrorists, cameraman, commanding officer, police officers, prison escorts. And then I gave it a half point bump because of Ice-T's body count theme song at the end of it. So total 2 out of 3.
Okay, 2 out of 3. Before I jump to Ryan, I did just want to say my favorite IMDb fact. I love all the Vietnam scenes were filmed on a golf course.
A golf course in Arizona.
Right.
Another American Dad bit too, where they also film a Vietnam reenactment on a golf course. But I don't know if that's a tribute to this movie or not. I want to investigate. But anyways, Ryan, body count. What have you got score wise?
I was with you all for every reason you said, and I was at A2, specifically for the Ice-T song. But I'm going to take half a point off because I got a big eye roll, and I literally booed when he threw the grenade because I knew she was coming back. They unkilled the lady, and they acted like a big dramatic moment, and for that, you get a half point off. So I'm going to be 1.5, okay. Right down the middle.
It was a direct hit on her.
I know.
And she comes back.
And it's what fueled the hero's return. They had to fridge her and then unfridge her.
Would you say, Ryan, that it got a 1, but with a body count, half a point bump?
Yeah. If you want to say that,
I'm
going to
give this one a 1.5 all around. I think 1.5 is going to average it up.
It's actually a 2.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's
1.8.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there are more 2s than 1.5s. That's how it works.
Everybody to get,
democracy.
All right. Phil started us off on this next one. The setting theme, a total score as well of 3 on this one.
We kind of bounce around Korea, American Southwest, Utah, Louisiana. I said Korea, Vietnam. Sorry. I gave it a half point bump. For the theme of just like I like the idea, the general, like the Universal Soldier idea, it's not original, but it's a different take. Hot take on this is Short Circuit. This is Johnny Five going rogue and them trying to reclaim him. It's Short Circuit for macho dudes. A little bit of Frankenstein mixed in there, a little bit of Terminator mixed in there. So I give it a 1.5 out of 3.
Okay. 1.5 out of 3. Brian, what are you giving us, buddy?
I was originally going to give it a 2 based on a lot of the same things. I like that we have a variety of locations. I like that we're spanning this chase across the country. I like that we have the Hoover Dam and the Grand Canyon. But I also know Emmerich's filmography and how big he can make things, and he just doesn't do it in this movie. He had these locations that are awesome and would have been great, but he just kind of treats them as just like, now we're here. Now we're here. You never get that actual, immersion.
Grandeur?
You don't get the immersion into these settings. So for me, it's a 1.5.
The Grand Canyon is treated as just like a giant cliff.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It could have been any gorge anywhere. Mm-hmm. They're not like mystique. Shawnee boy, setting theme.
So I didn't know that was the Grand Canyon.
Exactly.
The Hoover Dam, I thought they were in Egypt. Like up until this point, because there's like statues outside of it that looked Egyptian.
That's the way that it was very Art Deco in the 50s.
Okay, well,
is that what the Hoover Dam looks like? I've never been there before.
Yep, that's what it looks like. It was very Art Deco design.
Okay, well, my confusion aside, there was at least more settings than LA, or insert nondescript city setting.
Sure.
So it did have a whole bunch of stuff going for it there. And I'm going to kind of echo what you guys said with the theme. Like, while it's not wholly original at all, I do like the idea and premise, and I thought it entertaining. And I actually do want to see other Jean-Claude Van Damme Universal Soldiers. I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Man,
I don't think it's anything special, but it's there.
On a scale of 3, I'm going to be pretty much right in the middle on this one, too. I feel it nails the sci-fi aesthetic as well as it can in the early 90s without the bigger budget. It has a very Screamers vibe, if any of you guys have ever seen that movie, where it's like future in the desert, but everybody wears just basic.
Or Tank Girl. They did this a lot. Yeah. It's super cheap.
Army surplus camo, just base stuff. I did like, you know, they do try to do some fancy stuff. I know that that weird looking plane, that's like the only time it's been in a movie, the Guppy with like the small windows that they haul the semi around in, but that is a real military plane. I did think the truck looked intimidating. I liked it. It was very Jurassic Park Lost World.
Mm-hmm. I love they fired up the smoke machine and every time it expanded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were always.
My wife
like,
commented when she saw the truck, she was very impressed with the expanding RV military truck.
They made sure they showed it off every single time that truck was on screen.
God, they spent a lot on that truck. They got to show it off. But yeah, I think right down the middle, too. It nails it pretty well. It's pretty easy to cheat. They did a great job for a golf course in Vietnam, though. So they get a little bump for me in that. So, Ryan, where are you at, buddy?
I kind of agree with what everybody said about the settings. I think they did really well with the settings. I like the Hoover Dam, even though you don't get to see a lot of it. I think there's a great tracking shot into the tunnel that follows Dolph Lundgren at like the very beginning. Like, there's some cool things with the set pieces and the settings. But this is also setting/theme, and the theme I think is sufficiently lacking. The theme is just borrowed from other concepts that have been done better, and so I have an issue with the theme. I have an issue with a lot of that. So I'm kind of more in the middle, but I'm gonna go just half a point lower and do 1 out of 3, and that's mostly again because of the great settings, which you've all said.
Nice.
Something that averages out to 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think
1.5.
Oh, 1.5.
Did
anybody
give it 2? I don't think any of us gave it 2, did we?
No.
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's 2 1.5s, a 1 and a 2, and then... Okay. Oh, 3 1.5s. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Balances out across.
The next category is a very beefy category. It's the muscle category. I'm going to start this one off with Mr. Flex over there. Brian. Total score out of 2 here.
Out of 2? It's a 2.
2.
It's a 2. I mean, you got some muscly men on this screen, and they're there flexing, showing off. Even when they're in their uniforms, you're still seeing that bulge because they got those sweet shoulder pads. It's a 2 for me.
Even in the ice, they got the cut six
they're,
pack.
They're flexing on the ice, yeah. It's good
they got
stuff.
The flex. All right, so we got a 2. Ryan, what are you thinking on the muscle scale?
I don't have anything to say against it. There's muscles. There's a lot of muscles, mm-hmm. and they like to show the muscles. 2 out of 2.
Dolph Lundgren's muscles have muscles.
Phil?
We got meat for days, boys. It's full marks. We got Lundgren, JCVD, Tiny Lister, Ralph Muller. He is a German champion bodybuilder. You might remember him from Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Even like one of the diner combatants who tries to fight JCVD is just built. Like this is muscle. This is 2 out of 2. Perfect score.
Shawnee boy?
In that diner scene that you're talking about, I actually probably wasted 10-15 minutes pausing it and looking up to see if Cam Neely, who you guys will remember is Seabass from Dumb and Dumber, was the guy at the end that went to stand up to him. It is not. I'm going to say 1.5 because this isn't even the biggest that I've ever seen Dolph Lundgren. I've seen him bigger in other movies. I actually thought to myself, wow, he doesn't look very muscular in this movie at one point.
What?
Taking away point for the quality.
Cam Neely.
I respect
Cam Neely is also known as Cam Neely from the Boston Bruins.
Yes,
but yeah.
Well, I know that.
I didn't.
I actually had to type in to expedite my process. I thought it was Cam Neely, but I typed in Dumb and Dumber Hockey.
Nice. Yeah, that'll get you there too.
Yeah.
I'll bring the average back up. I'm also full 2 on this every time. And we'll get to this one in a bit. But when Jean-Claude Van Damme is in the buff, he's every muscle you see, man, is
his butt
sufficiently
had more
toned.
Muscles than
so I got to go 2. On to that, my, of course, favorite category, the butts category. And as tradition, I'll start us off here. I got to give this one also a 2, if only because we get 2 JCVD butt shots. You don't really get any other gratuitous nudity, which is pretty shocking, but you do get the standard JCVD butt shot. And yeah, I got to go full 2 on this one. Sean?
I'm going to give it 1.
Okay.
For each of his butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so a 2. There we go.
That's what I did with Statham last week.
Yeah, that's
so good. A 4, because we see it twice, so it's a 4 out of 2.
Yes. Oh, no, I can't break my own scale. This movie does not deserve it as much as I liked it.
We get a 3rd shot of him side-lying with a little bit of butt cheek on the side there, too.
Oh, no.
Ryan, what about you? Ryan.
2. It's 2. I mean, there's so much butt. There's so much JCVD butt.
So much butt.
And they linger Ryan? On it.
I'm not well-versed in Jean-Claude Van Damme's filmography, but every single JCVD movie I have seen features a gratuitous shot of his ass. I imagine it's worked into his contract somehow, but that does not take away from the fact that it is a 2 out of 2.
Alrighty. Phil, take us home, buddy.
You know it's coming, and it's still just... I love that this is worked into every movie, and... You know, he makes movies for guys, but I feel like he understands that guys are bringing their dates with them, and they want... Oh. He's given a little something for the women in the audience that get drug along to see Universal
Soldier.
This is
for the ladies.
Every single time we do one of these, I make sure to show my wife, like, here's the butt scene, and she enjoys it every time.
Nice. Nice.
That slow... And this one, the slow pan from, like, ankle to calf to hamstring to butt.
Is that when he's out in the street?
Choice.
Just...
No, this is just when he's doing the original, like, he's trying to cool himself off in front of the air conditioner.
Yeah.
I love how...
It's just, like, you can't get more gratuitous than that. I mean, you can, because we don't see any meat dangling there, but still.
This isn't Dolph Lundgren's Punisher, after all.
I love how conscious he is of her safety. You must get in. It is not safe.
He's just put on butt your naked.
For that, by the way, Roland Emmerich, prolific chain smoker in his youth, and he puts it in his movies to have smoking characters who are trying to quit smoking.
Huh.
Which is what Ali does in this movie.
Okay. I thought that was a little weird thing to call reference to, but now it makes sense.
It was a wild thing in 92.
I kept waiting for the cigarettes. Yeah, I kept waiting for the cigarettes to be a plot point because they seem to be so focusing on it. Like, there's going to be some point where her smoking is going to be, like, integral.
Check off cigarette.
But no, it was just like him being like, you know what? Smoking is not good. Maybe you should quit.
Smoking is not cool, kids.
Just sitting here in a diner learning about how to eat mashed potatoes and reading the Surgeon General's warning.
Popcorn. You guys kind of alluded to this earlier, but the next category is music. The total score here is out of 2. How much are you going to contribute from Ice-T's body count? Start with you, Shawnee boy.
There is a body count bump. There is not a music bump. 0.
A 0 on the music scale, starting us off harsh. Okay. Yep. Ryan seems shocked at this. Ryan, why don't you follow up? Where are you putting the music?
Well, I thought I was going to be the harsh one, and I was going to say a 0.5 simply because of body count, because the rest of the music in this movie is forgettable. I don't remember any of it, anything.
That's why we've got at least a 0.5.
Yeah. That's fair. I respect it. I'm just surprised.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm also going to be harsh with Sean. I'm going to go 0. I don't remember anything. A lot of his movies, they go like at least kind of hammy with the soundtrack. I remember something at least somewhat sticking out in most of them, but nothing is unique or original at all in this movie and completely forgettable. So I guess, I'll go 0. Phil, where are you at?
0. It's body count sucks, and it is totally like... Like, it does not match at all. You just go straight from we kill Dolph Lundgren. This is a very common theme in Van Damme movies, by the way, is like we kill the bad guy and go straight to credits.
Rocks.
And then we what just go straight to body count.
Body count.
Which is kind of shit, and the score is generic. Yeah, zero.
Whoa.
Brian, are you going to change anything up?
Well, I was originally going to go with a zero on this, but body count. No, there's even a scene in this, in the diner, there specifically is a scene where they throw somebody into the record player and a record starts and there's a needle drop and I still don't remember what the song is.
Nope.
Right.
That's a zero.
That would have been a great place to put the song Body Count.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but also Body Count is going to get a half a point it. Bump for me. So it is
so
a point five.
You're also 0.5, so what, is that going to put us to 0.5?
I don't think it's enough.
Oh, it's still a zero? All right.
Still a zero.
A zero coming down. Wow. Next one, I think I feel where we're going to go, but I'm going to start it off with Shawnee Boy. We're going with the quips. We can get a maximum of one here. Shawnee's just throwing up the one already.
Once what in was chat, that? Folks. Once in chat.
What was a quip that you enjoyed?
Man, all of them. All of the stupid little ear ones. I like the where is he around? like... say goodnight when he just out of nowhere goes say goodnight asshole. Like a lot of times it was Dolph Lundgren just saying something that you didn't really expect, even though it's been like 15 minutes of him just saying the most ridiculous obtuse things.
Say goodnight asshole.
0.5 because I won't remember these in a week, but goodnight, I thought the quips stuck out.
Okay, 0.5 he says. Ryan,
brilliant.
Where are you at?
I am maybe slightly lower at a zero. There are quips, sure. And if we want to get points for quips, they're there. I didn't think there was a single original, funny, good one that made me chuckle. All of them made me roll my eyes. I don't like these dumb type of quips. They just don't work for me. I don't love it. And they didn't even have like... I don't know. You're talking about, like, he's everywhere. Like, it doesn't even land, like, in Commando and, like, lay off the steam, Bennett. Or, like, this is all flaccid. It's all, these quips are flaccid. It's zero. I don't like them.
They had writers come up with a bunch and they used all of them.
I don't like them. Zero.
Stick around.
It's not the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, of
no.
course, but.
Brian, where are you at on the quip scale?
I, unlike Ryan, this is my bread and butter, these kind of quips. I love this stuff. That said, it's only a 0.5. There's because none of them have sticking power.
That is true. I'll give you that. Phil, what about you, buddy?
I'm going to give it a half point bump for I'm all ears and the fist pump, which isn't a quip, but it feels
pretty quippy.
It's better than any delivery that's been done. He's trying, like they're trying. There's nothing along the lines of like, don't disturb my friend, he's dead tired. But it's I'll give him a half point for trying.
Is Arnold the king of quips?
0.5.
I think so. He used to be. He's pretty good at him. Overall, I'm with you guys with quips. I think they are kind of fun. I really enjoyed I'm all ears. That did get a pretty good chuckle out of me. None of them reach that caliber, so we kind of shoot our wad early. But there are quite a few more, and I did enjoy, if we're counting the arm chuck with the dumb face, then yeah. A 0.5, because overall, though, like you all said, they are very forgettable, too. Nothing really has sticking power. So I think 0.5 is pretty even. Which takes the score up to that. And then this last category is the story category. There can be no half points. It's all or nothing, folks. Either zero or one. On the story, I will set the pace coming out early. Weak as it may be, there is stuff to follow here. It goes from a point A to point B. There are stakes. I gotta say one on a story for Universal Soldier. It's easy to follow. It's there. It gets us places. So I say one. Shawnee Boy, where are you at?
It's a one for me, dog. It's not the best story in the world, but I found it entertaining. I always knew what was going on. There's progression of time, places. One.
Okay. Ryan, what about you, buddy?
I'm sorry. I went a zero. I don't really like this movie. The story is all over the place. The characters are kind of thin at best, and at worst, just blatant steals from other places. I don't know. I've got a lot of issues with it. Zero.
Okay. Brian, what about you?
I am in agreement with Sean and Kyle on this one. It's a one. There is a story to follow here. Is it great? I don't know. Is it rehashed? Absolutely. But there is a plot to follow. There are stakes. So it's a one for me.
Phil, buddy, take us home.
I feel like I'm closer to Ryan than the rest of you guys, but I'm giving this the I like it, damn it point.
Yeah.
Story's been done before. Like I said, it's Short Circuit, it's Terminator, it's Frankenstein,
and it's Blade Kickboxer, Runner.
Like, it's all the greatest hits. It's Blade Runner. Like, yeah, we've seen this before. We've seen it done better, but I like it, damn it. One.
I like it, damn it. All right, the final bonus category we have is the bonus weapon cool point factor. We've never really discussed it, but there can be more than one point, I guess, available here if there's more cool weapons.
I just thought it was a maximum of one.
Maybe it is just one. I don't know. I might be throwing a wrench into things here. I can't... There is really, like, the Desert Eagle guns they make pretty cool.
Is it a dope weapon?
Probably not. Yeah, is it a dope weapon? It might have been in, like, 91, but... They're also not even the 50 caliber variety. They're the 357 Magnum, which is not as penis enhancy. So
I think the car lighter, but in a reverse weapon kind of way, it's a healing weapon.
Oh, so you're very Marvel rival.
I had to fucking stretch to find a dope weapon in this movie.
Dude, are we all dancing around the hay harvester? Shoulder.
Wood chipper?
Yeah, the wood chipper.
Nobody wants to do the wood chipper.
I don't even like the front wood chipper in the rear. The mullet of farm equipment.
If that's a wood chipper, like, what the hell are those spikes that he got impaled on?
It's a hay harvester. It's a hay harvester.
Sorry, hay baler. Yeah. I don't know.
Except it has like a wood chipper like exhaust.
Exactly. Like they just kind of combine the two to make it work.
Yeah. It is a Frankenstein's wood chipper kind of thing.
Oh. Yeah.
So you're telling me all farm equipment. Lied.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it gets a bonus point. I'm fine with a zero here. Does anybody else feel swayed another way?
Wow.
I mean, I gave it a one because of the end to Dolph Lundgren. Also, he impales one of the scientists with a needle through the face. So he does that.
I
thought there were multiple cool deaths besides just guns. So I gave it a one.
Anybody else? A one or a zero? I'm a zero. Sean's a zero. Zero. Brian? A one. Does that average us out to a 0.5 bonus? Son. It's a zero? Okay.
That
brings our score for the first Universal Soldier to a total of 15.
Which I will tell you, is 0.5 higher than Crank.
Hey.
So story saved it from being worse than Crank.
Okay, I like that because I did like this a lot more than I liked Crank. Ryan was the opposite.
Like is a hard word. I said Crank was the more interesting one to talk about.
Okay,
that's
fair
it.
Enough. Fair.
I was
you did say
not
that.
Looking
okay.
forward to talking about this one. That's it. Just because I didn't, I felt like it's in that middle ground where it's a lot of other things.
I feel
Crank's
Crank
offensive.
Got
you
a
can
lot
talk
of...
about it.
I feel Crank got a lot of benefit points.
I think it's really nice to hear, especially in these categories, like your point of view on all of these categories too, because it really brings balance to like
it does
the entire show. Like a bunch of dudes are like, oh, this, and you're like, there's no fucking story. Like this guy sucks.
You're too harsh on yourself, Ryan. Hate with reckless abandon.
Yeah,
that's
dude,
what
you
we're
bring
here
so
for.
Much balance.
I'm it's glad okay, I bumped us up. Just a little bit more than Crank.
Phil, buddy, goddammit, yeah. I love every time you come on. I enjoy our Jean-Claude Van Damme time more than some of us, but I do enjoy it,
I love it
so fucking much. It's so much,
thank
and
you
I know Sean enjoys
for...
it so much. It's a big reason why we have a whole other action movie month now in the middle of the year. because we like talking Jean-Claude Van Damme flicks with you, buddy.
It's almost like Christmas in
July. We've only got a few more of these before we're starting to run into a wall here, and we might start to go to Steven Seagal movies.
No, so I'm out.
We'll see.
Might I suggest Dolph Lundgren instead?
Yeah, we'll have to find another prolific action star that we haven't covered extensively. But yeah, it's something we'll get into. But I do love having you around, buddy, because we'll definitely find somebody, because it's one of my great joys. We love talking to you, pal. So
can I hit you guys with a quick quiz before we go?
We can do some quick quizzing.
I've got something here.
That's fun.
So in my research for this movie, I learned that Roland Emmerich is the 17th highest grossing director of all time in Hollywood films. He's earned about $4 billion worldwide.
That's nuts.
I'm curious if you guys can name the top five grossing directors of all time.
James Cameron.
Spielberg.
One and two. Spielberg, Cameron.
Mm.
Mm. I'm going to say Michael Bay.
Number four.
Okay.
Michael Bay.
Whoever did the
first Russo
Avengers.
Brothers.
Russo Brothers, number three.
Wow.
Was that the Avengers?
Yeah. Whedon.
That was the most recent.
Yeah. All the Avengers.
Whedon.
And then number five.
You say Whedon. I'll say Zack Snyder.
Snyder?
Nah. Zack is 29.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
No.
Damn.
That doesn't surprise me.
I thought he would get it on volume.
Who? It's probably like Kenneth Branagh, somebody who's done one of those like 3D or Disney remakes. It's like one of those directors
Is it John Favreau?
He's not even in the top. He's not even top 30. Favreau's 12.
Shit.
I figured Favreau would be in the top 10.
Yeah.
But not 12.
Is it maybe like a classic director?
What's a
Scorsese?
This is all not taking account of inflation. Okay. What's a movie series that Sean hates?
Lord of the Rings.
A lot of them.
Peter Jackson.
Is it Peter Jackson?
Peter Jackson, number five.
Yeah. Ah, okay, Peter Jackson.
Hey, I'm with you there, buddy.
Okay. I
forgot about that.
I hate it so much. I know the director.
The rest of the top 10. Six is David Yates, all the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. Okay.
Seven, Nolan. Eight, Burton. Nine, Abrams. And Ridley Scott's number
Burton
10.
Is that high. Oh, he's had some real stinkers.
Burton's that high.
Alice in Wonderland made $1 billion, and that's a stinker.
People still go because it's
his highest grossing movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Burton's grossed almost $5 billion.
Jesus.
That's insane.
I'm glad I got on there with Michael Bay, though.
It stinks because like some of these older directors who have made some like huge hits is they don't have the, you know, inflation adjusted.
Right.
Roland Emmerich is between Chris Columbus at number 16 and John Watts, who did Spider-Man No Way Home at number 18.
Wow. That was a fantastic question.
Well, shit, boys. That was a fantastic question and a perfect one to take us out on. Phil, speaking of, buddy, why don't you tell the listeners what they can go
Hold your horses.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Record scratch.
Listeners. You've made
Let
it
Sean
far.
Do his bit, and then we'll have Phil take
it's
us
It's not
out.
A bit. This is a way of
I'm
life.
I'm sorry. You're,
okay?
It's a, yes.
This is a way of life.
This is Everybody. Where we make the dollars.
Yeah. Folks, you've made it this far. You've enjoyed hearing our voices and me mixing up the word shoulder with soldier.
Universal
I almost
shoulder.
Just did it again. That's okay. You enjoyed what you heard. Do you enjoy it enough to give us a dollar and hear that bonus, sweet, sweet bonus content? Well, you can over on Patreon. Kyle, what is it? Patreon.com/experience.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
First time. Buy that for a dollar. Yeah, we record a bonus show every week before we record the actual show. So you'll see here me, because I can't help it, reference something you haven't heard yet that I've talked about before. It's weird. Time travel doesn't matter. I saw it in Terminator once.
I saw it in Time Cop.
Ooh. That's we'll a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about it. You can probably also find that in the movie section of our Discord. I don't know. Maybe. Just click on the show notes. There's going to be a link in there. Come join us there.
Mm-hmm.
And where you'll probably find out where the next episode's going to be on, which is my pick, which is going to be Dev Patel's Monkey Man.
Mm.
So
I've been wanting to watch that. That's perfect.
Same. I've seen it.
Oh, Ryan, stop grimacing. God damn
I've seen it. No, no, that's a smile, but my face is down, so you can't see it. I'm smiling. I really like it. It's very good. I'm sorry. Okay, it was a smile. I'm happy that we have a movie like this coming. This makes me happy. I don't have to be the bummer.
All right.
Shit, that means it's going to be me. All right, now Kyle. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, not me.
I'm changing
Phil,
my
please.
Pick.
No. Allow Ryan.
Phil, take us out, buddy.
Break the ice.
I would like to invite everyone to go splits themselves. Thank you and good night. Okay. Number 30 on the list of top directors is famous director Kyle Balda, who did Minions, Despicable Me 3, and Minions Rise of Gru. He has made made $1.1 billion on Minions. Just below Zack Snyder.